Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here, and I'm a kick-ass business coach, and I'm on an absolute mission to help you find your purpose in life, to help you love what you do for work every single day, to help you be the rock star that you are meant to be, to make more money than you ever thought was possible, and to have more time freedom so you can actually enjoy the life that you're living. I'm here to help you set your life on fire.
Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here, and welcome to another session with us. We've got the one and only Gary Vaynerchuk on the line here with us today. What's going on, Gary?
Things are great, my friend, and you?
Doing awesome. So we're really, really excited to have Gary on the line, and he's got the company VaynerMedia. He's also a New York Times best-selling author. One of my favorite books is Crush It, and also he's got Jab, 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 Right Hook that just came out. And now this, I think, Gary, this might be my new favorite now, the new book.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'm really, I have a feeling a lot of the Crush It crowd is going to really eat up Jab. It's in a weird way, kind of the modern day, you know, Crush It in a lot of ways. That's kind of how I thought about it when I wrote it. And the things that people like from Crush It were the actionable kind of aspects of it. So I tried to do even more of it, which is why I did all those case studies.
And I love it. And I think what's so cool about that, man, is that that's exactly what ties into this. You know, into this session here with you today, because this is really a drill down on how to rock it out with Twitter, you know. And so what I'd like to start off with is just asking a real simple question, which is, you know, as a business owner, sell me on why I should care about Twitter.
Because Twitter is the one place where we can actually get consumer insights and people's points of view for free and not pay data companies. And we can action on them, we can jump into these conversations, and we're not a stalker, right? It's the one place where if you jump into somebody's conversation around, you know, protein drinks or exercise regimens or anything in the world, that if you jump in and actually conversate to people around them talking about it, that they would view that as a positive, not a negative.
Awesome. Okay, cool. And then as far as, you know, what kind of results are possible, or how have you used Twitter to grow your business? And, you know, for the small-time entrepreneur, for maybe a social media manager, large corporations, you know, what's kind of the upside or the potential with Twitter as far as from a marketing perspective?
Well, that's kind of what the jabs and the right hooks are about, right? The potential is endless. It just depends on if you're good at it. So, you know, when you go in for the ask, when you go in and whatever that may be in one's business, whatever that converts becomes the potential. But that's like asking what the potential of a website is, or the potential of, you know, a piano for a pianist, or a basketball for a basketball player. The potential is how you actually play. I mean, there's clearly opportunity to do business on Twitter, but just, you know, the far majority of people are bad at it.
Mm. Gotcha. And then, a rough example, or, you know, how are you using it with some of your clients, or like what kind of traffic, or, you know, is it something where they can hop on Twitter and, you know, work to get clients? So maybe like a local realtor could get customers in the first 30 days, or because sometimes in social media, you know, it's like so hard.
I mean, from a tangible standpoint, the quicker you go in for the kill, the less you're going to actually convert. So it's really a patience game, which is why, you know, very honestly, the far majority of the people that are listening right now are going to struggle with it, because I just know, and by the way, I know that because I've just been watching everybody roll through this. Everybody's struggling with it because nobody wants to throw the jabs. It's all about the right hooks. And so what I mean by that is, you know, everybody just wants to say, buy my stuff. They don't actually want to put in, I mean, I put in years of tweeting with people without asking for anything in return. That's quite tough for most people. And so tangibly, there's two ways to go about it. You can build up your audience by putting out good content and eventually sprinkle in asks, whatever that may be. Or for a real estate agent, you could just go into Twitter search right now and search somebody that's talking about going to an open house, start a conversation with them, and they're already in your zone of actually looking to buy a house. And then, you know, you may have to throw less jabs to get the right hook in. You know, same as a protein shake company. There's people talking about that out there, you can just go and jump into it. So, same old game. You know, Twitter is about listening and talking. It's a combination. It's salesmanship. It's why I like it so much.
Awesome. And you actually, and from a previous conversation, and you actually like this as the number one, you know, social network platform of choice to do business on, to build relationships on, more so than even Facebook. And why is that?
what the previous statement was it's the only true social network. I mean, Facebook is used much more as a push content play than Twitter is. You know, I mean, you know, with dark posts and ads and all that, you know, Facebook's an incredible place to throw right hooks, and people do. To me, Twitter's an incredible place to throw both. I mean, Twitter's the most natural place to throw jabs because it's about listening. You can actually literally go, I mean, I went in and talked to people that talked about wine at scale. The problem is, and the reason I continue to get, you know, a lot of emails from people that have used this and have done it successfully and it's brought value to them, but a far less percentage of the overall people that read my theories or books, is that it's hard. Twitter's hard. It takes time. You either have to hire somebody or you have to put in the hours of work yourself. It's a human platform.
Awesome. Nice. Okay, cool. And then so from there, if we look at, you know, the next question being, if someone doesn't have a Twitter account yet, they're not on there right now, what would you recommend as far as the setup process? Is there anything that they need to know about setting up their first account?
Just get a good name. You know, just get a name that is your name or your company's name. I don't think there's really anything else. It's, you get a name and, you know, read up and watch videos and try to learn the culture. Maybe go to a conference or two. And just please know that you're going into a place that isn't like email marketing or banner retargeting or like dark post Facebook. This is a talking place. This is a watering hole. This is a cocktail party. You don't go to a cocktail party and give a presentation.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then how about as far as selecting the, you know, the handle? I mean, is it would you encourage someone to use their personal brand if they're maybe a solopreneur or just kind of what's your take on just the naming of the
I always 1,000% am most interested in somebody using their actual name, because today might be the social media X, but tomorrow you might be the exercise Y, and so I'm a very big believer in using your name if you can pull it off.
Oh, perfect. Okay. And so if the name isn't available, then sometimes, like, any recommendations?
You know, middle initials, the real, okay. Mister, you know, there's things to be done, you know?
Okay. Okay. And then what about, like, is there any benefit to, like, putting, like, keywords in the description or things to help yourself get found or any, like, directories or anything that they can put their, you know, Twitter ID, you know, username on? Or
I apologize one more time, that chopped on me.
Yeah, so like, when there's, so they get the handle, you know, their Twitter username,
yep.
And then they put up their description. Any just feedback as far as, like, the description goes, like, on, you know, writing that and make kind of, you know, tell exactly what
they
do,
I mean,
or funny,
I think that's a dramatically different kind of conversation, meaning that doesn't matter anywhere close to as much as people think.
Okay, cool. Interesting.
Yep.
And is there
and let me explain,
like,
why. Because it comes down to actually executing, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's, you know, you could say that, you could say you're the jerk of the world, but, you know, words are cheap. Actions are the whole real game.
Okay. And as far as, like, is there anything that someone could do to get their Twitter account, you know, to where it's either more, you know, I'm thinking about, like, for Google, like, there's keyword research for Twitter. Is there any way that, like, you could put something in your description so that people can have an easier time finding you on search, or just any of those kind of little...
In theory, yes, but I'm telling you, and I think that's why I'm being so aggressive, I want people to realize Twitter is just different. You can do all that stuff on Google+ and other things of that nature. Twitter is talking and building relationships. It really is. And then, I mean, listen, what you do for a living by giving forward and then asking for in return, you know, on a micro level, that's what Twitter is. On a scale level, that's what Twitter is. It just takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Okay. And then this is just a quick one, but what about the background image? Any just recommendations on what people should do for putting up the background image? Let's just say if they're a solopreneur.
Everything is mobile now. I don't even care about my background image. My background image doesn't even crop properly right now. That's what I think about it.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Sweet. So now let's just picture the person now has a Twitter account, and then what? So what's your, you know, first steps of getting started, and what's the first thing that you would advise someone to do to kind of prime the pump and get rolling?
Twitter.com/search, the number one website on the internet. You can search anything people are saying. And so right now I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm putting in drinking wine or, you know, drinking a smoothie, right?
Yep.
So I'm typing it in, and here we go. Results, real-time marketing here. At the top, it says the top results. I'm going to hit the one that does all results. And first person, cold, and I'm drinking my smoothie, shrugs. It's just my favorite, right? So here's this woman who lives in New Orleans, and if I'm selling smoothies or smoothie culture or smoothie T-shirts or just want recognition for my smoothie, literally in the last 30 minutes, I'm looking here and hear the following things. Cool, it's cold outside and I'm drinking my smoothie. Drinking my salad today because I can. Green smoothie, sunshine in a cup, happiness. Drinking a strawberry apple banana smoothie. Frankly, it's not that outrageous. You know, how is Nicole drinking my smoothie right now? I'm drinking a smoothie wearing flip-flops and have wet hair. I belong in California, not in Washington. These are people that are talking about it, and you as a smoothie retailer, purveyor, expert, blogger, can jump in and say, now this is where the jabbing and right hooking comes in. You don't go say, oh, sign up for my smoothie course where I deliver smoothies, three of them each month for you along with this content. That's silly. You're trying to close on the first move. It's a 19-year-old dude move. It's a douchebag move, right? Get it?
Yeah.
What you do is you say, you know, to the girl that said she should be in California, Washington, if you're in California, like San Diego, you say, hey, wish you were here with us as well. Wink. You're creating context. You're jabbing, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. And if you, it's kind of like girl and guy dynamics. You can't just roll up on a girl at the bar and ask her to like leave with you, unless you look like you, Nick. You can't pull that off every time, you know. You've got to have some game. You have to have some romance, and you have to bring some value, and hopefully lots of it.
And so what I love about this is that this is, by saying jab, it's like the give first and it's building real rapport. And so, you know, this kind of ties into like, you know, the next question, which is about content and what to do. And so really your content is just being a friendly guy and just putting yourself in the right environments in front of the right people using the Twitter search to have the conversations, but then to just do it real human to human and just having
I'm not looking to be like, you know, Mother Teresa here. This is about business. But it's okay if they don't convert, meaning I don't have expectations. I just know it works.
Yeah.
You know?
So basically, from a first step standpoint, it's like you're coming in, you're using the Twitter search, and then I hear in the industry, you know, people are listening first, and so by listening, you're using the search, you're kind of seeing the conversation about smoothies if you're, you know, Smoothie Allen or that company, or you're searching for your niche. Are you searching for, tell me about the process of keywords, like, you know, you're typing in
It's a whole different art, right? It's what somebody that you're looking for would actually say versus a keyword.
Ah,
you can't search.
Perfect.
You can't search smoothie because there'll be a ton of spam, there'll be a lot of things that don't matter. I typed in drinking a smoothie, right? Because that's what somebody would actually say, you know, like, you know, I'm going to do another one right now. Let's see how it works out. I'm going to do, you know, hitting the gym, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so those are the things that, let's see what it does. Hitting.
That is so cool. So it's almost like, you know, we've got to always remember what network we're on, right? And so for Google, right, you've got to completely think about what they're
exactly
trying to solve a problem. And Gary, this is awesome. I mean, this is talking about what are the things that people actually would have come out of their mouth or as a tweet. So it's a different, you put yourself in the shoes of your prospects and it's like, hey man, I'm hitting the gym. Who's, you know, so it's more of that.
I mean, look at, I mean, this one's loaded, you know, starting my day off by hitting the gym. It's been so long. This is where you can't say the same thing to everybody because Alina here said it's been so long. You may want to say something different than the person that's the next one, which is I'm hitting the gym right now. And, you know, so it's context marketing, hence jabbing.
Mm. That is so cool. And so, all right, so we've got searching, you're finding the conversations, you're building rapport, and, you know, and what happens from there? I mean, are you just kind of staying in touch and replying and, like, do you follow them right away, or how does that
you
unfold
mix,
over
you,
the
you
next
mix
few months?
You know, like, to me, you follow some, you keep in touch with others, it's good to follow some because you can see, you know, you start an actual relationship, so you see them in your stream, you can reply. You know, when you eventually get big enough like I did, you're just searching your name and your business to respond to everything that's coming in. But, you know, that's kind of like how I see it. Like it's, you know, it's following them, it's engaging with them, it's putting out good content. So just because you're responding to them, every tweet can't be buy my stuff. It needs to be a mix of the content that you put out needs to bring some sort of value as well. So it's just a marathon.
Okay, cool. And as far as content, to tell us about that process with what you're putting out. Is it, a little bit more personal where you're just kind of saying what's going on? And then how would you recommend?
I think this breaks down to every person, right? Like, so for me, I'm building my personal brand and things of that nature. But, the important part is that you've got to do what's right to you. So I talk about the Jets and root beer and other things, not just the stuff I sell. For my businesses that I work with at VaynerMedia, they're logos, they're actual businesses, they're a gym, they're a nutrition company, and there you just need to kind of think about who your consumer is and act like one of them, become like one of the friends that they would want to hang out with. But you don't want to get too far. A human has much more room to do stuff than a personal brand has way more room to play than, let's say, a logo.
Interesting. And what about, what's your take on just retweeting content or, aggregating content or curating or just, content that's not yours? What's your take on just far as sharing that? And is it still really cool to be retweeting other people's stuff to build a relationship, or how does that work as far as sharing other people's content?
Curating other people's content?
Yeah, as far as, retweeting other people's stuff, what's your advice on just sharing other people's
content? Listen, knowing who's listening and what you're trying to accomplish here, let me explain it. I am the number one engager, and then I push out my stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other people don't engage at all, and all they do is retweet and relink and search all day finding other people's content and put it out. And they're DJs, and they're incredible. I'm an original songwriter who's close to his fans, okay?
Yep.
Other people win by being a DJ, taking other people's content and regurgitating it and saving people a lot of time. So they bring value. I bring value by bringing emotional, actual relationships. Other people bring value by DJing other people's content and being a news source. They're saving them time, right? Other people never engage, but they're so funny and wicked, incredible with their original content. So that's what they're about. There's a lot of ways to be successful.
Okay, cool. And I mean, that's really interesting. So I mean, you've got on one hand for strategy A, it's being super engaging with people, building really tight knit relationships, and then almost like a strategy B, it's maybe you're spending all your energy on just putting out whether you're creating or you're sharing other people's best content. So they're coming to you for that feed of content versus with Gary, it's more of like they're getting to know the real Gary, which is unique given your status and all that kind of stuff. Okay, cool. Very, very interesting. And what about when you're actually retweeting or replying and what about some of just the little semantics that someone would kind of look like a noob if they did it the wrong way? I know you mentioned putting the at symbol first or having their name first and things, but any just techniques as far as content?
I think the other technique is to pay attention to what's trending and figuring out how to incorporate it into your tweet if you're pushing something out, right? So that to me I think is a very, very big thing to think about. So if something's trending, and I wrote about this in the book pretty detailed, if something's trending, follow that trend and use that trend into somehow engaging content, but not force fed. Meaning, I'm looking at all the trending topics now. Family Guy is trending right now. And if you're a restaurant, even though we all know it's Family Guy the show, and you want to talk about your special steak dinner tonight, you might want to say, hey, be a Family Guy tonight and bring your entire crew to Johnny's Steakhouse. You see what I mean? Instead of saying, hey,
right, come
to Johnny's Steakhouse tonight for the steak. That one move would increase your exposure and your engagement dramatically.
Very cool. So, and tell us about how that works. So by mentioning the word Family Guys, that would be something that could basically jump on that slipstream of just trending action, or what's the mechanics on that, or by adding in the Family Guy, how does that tap into the trending?
Because when something's trending, people are clicking it a lot more than normal and clicking the actual link, and thus you're showing up in people's streams by accident. It's by accident business.
Nice. Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect.
Now,
that's
good for width. It's not great for depth because a lot of people there are actually just looking for Family Guy. They don't care about your steak, right?
Mm.
But if you get one or two out of 100 that do, it was worth doing, and it was worth the exercise.
Definitely. And so what about as far as who to follow? So, if we stayed on that restaurant theme, and so they're geographically based, they've got one location – and you're the restaurant owner, maybe you put your personal name as your Twitter handle. Tell me about following. I remember the days where some people would follow everybody and unfollow and all that kind of scammy type stuff or inauthentic stuff, but like, what's your advice on who to follow and just how to get started from that perspective?
You know, again, it's very personal. You know, I think that, you know, you should follow people that you think bring value to you. I mean, a lot of people follow very few people because it's very hard to bring value on Twitter. You have to be an original content maker or a creator to be great. On the other hand, I follow lots of people because I like seeing what – I love surprising Sally Thompson in Colorado with a statement out of nowhere that references her daughter's graduation because I saw it a week ago. It's putting in the effort. Like, it just depends on how you play it.
Yeah, okay. Cool. So you're following people that, I mean, because it's interesting. I mean, it's following people that you are interested in, I mean, more or less, you know, and as the business, let's say the restaurant, the business owner, I mean, from an etiquette standpoint, you know, if you're interacting, you're jumping in on those conversations, would you always follow them? Or you said before, it's kind of like a mix?
No, yeah. I don't think you have to. No, I think again, it's a personal preference, but I don't think you have to.
Okay. Cool. And so from there, let's just say that you've jumped in, you're on Twitter, you're putting out some content, and what does your, you know, daily Twitter routine look like? You know, so how often are you logging in, and kind of what's the Gary V on Twitter? I mean, how often are you engaging or interacting?
24/7, 365 when I don't have something going on. It is literally the lifeline of how I interact.
Awesome. I think that's so cool.
I mean it's on my phone. It's like, it's my major. It is, for me, it's my major tool. Like, it's the one way to guarantee to get into my, in front of my face, you know?
And any feedback on, like, the Hootsuite and, like, managing, like, the mentions or any of that kind of stuff, or just what's anything on that side?
You know, I think, a lot of those tools are great. And Hootsuite and who I like a lot. But again, those are tools, right? Like, is a baseball bat better? Sure. Like, you can get better baseball bats, right? They're slightly better, but they're tools. Like, if you can't hit the ball, it doesn't matter what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people try to scale with tools. With Twitter, the reason people are struggling is this is not a scalable play.
Yeah.
And let me say that again, because, you know, here comes the pause, and this is where everybody's thinking. This is not a scalable play from an algorithmic play. This is a human touch platform. Now, if you put in 25 minutes a day, you'll get 25 minutes results, and that's great. I just happen to put in 3 to 4 hours a day because I think it's a really very sexy place to do business.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's really cool to see how much time that you put into Twitter versus the other networks. And
but remember, it's coming at 6 and 7 and 8 and 4 and 2 and 3 minute intervals. You know, I go take a piss, I pull out my phone before I get there, walking in the hall, get 2 in. I go to a meet. I'm going to hang up with you right now. I'm going to a meeting. I've got 23 minutes of a cab ride. I'll spend 17 of it on Twitter, 6 on my email. It just you just decide what you're focused on, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And so how about the last question is just, what are some key metrics, you know, that people should be looking at to scale their growth? Or what are you tracking? What are you looking at? What kind of fires you up when you think about, you know, your Twitter success? Or what are you looking at? What are you tracking?
You know, I think ultimately you're tracking conversions of the right hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately what I'm tracking is how many people bought something or whatever, how many people showed up to my book event tonight because of Twitter, you know, those kind of things, you know?
Yeah.
But okay. I'm patient as balls to get there. And if anybody wants to win on Twitter and is going to look for conversion or data other than, are they growing their base and how are their tweets doing from a retweet basic, like, are people listening? You know, don't even think about doing that for the first 6 months. Just don't even think about it. You have no shot of winning if you do.
Interesting. And so as, like, for larger companies, as they're growing, you know, how about managing reputation? You know, is it looking at who's mentioning you and just following up with those kinds of folks? Or how are larger companies or some of your clients using Twitter?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you know, you can definitely – and that's where reporting gets interesting, because when you're dealing with Dove or Mountain Dew or big companies, you know, there's so many mentions it's hard to do by hand. But for most of the people on the call and for me, it's easy to kind of see the eye test, you know?
Yep. Awesome. And last thing here. So out of this would just be a complete, you know, tangent, but what's one thing that most people don't know about Gary Vee?
That deep down, I don't give a shit if I actually buy the New York Jets.
Say again?
That deep down, I actually don't care if I actually buy the New York Jets.
Nice.
Most people
okay.
think that it's my obsession, you know?
Yep. Okay. So
and
this is more this is like a confession here.
my obsession is trying to buy the New York Jets, not actually buying them.
Nice. Cool. Very cool. And I loved the comment the other night about the hip check.
Yes. The Patriot. For people that aren't listening, didn't know, we did this pre-cast, live cast. You know, I once hip-checked a 12-year-old Patriot fan at a Jet game.
Oh, man. I, like, literally, that just cracked me up. Like, I've had multiple just outbursts just thinking about you just hip-checking. I'm 9-year-old, man. That is awesome. Well, Gary Vee, man, thank you so much. This has been awesome. And, I just want to say thank you for everyone. That's listening as well. This has been really huge. And if you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. I know personally this has inspired me to put a major, major focus and emphasis on Twitter. So Gary Vee, thanks for everything, my man. And guys, if you haven't checked out his book, Jab, 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 Right Hook, definitely go and grab that. It's got the how-to tactics. It's got more of Gary on this topic as well. So thanks for everything, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, man. Stay well.
Yeah.
I'm here to help you set your life on fire.